Peter chapter 1, please, this morning. 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1.
I'd like for us to continue our series here in the book of 1 Peter. The theme of this book deals with God's people under persecution, enduring difficulties, and Peter writes to a scattered scattered believers that are being persecuted for their faith, and he seeks to encourage them. Now here in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 13 and 14, we'll study for this moment. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, the Bible reads, "Wherefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end, for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance." Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we're thankful that you are our God. You are our Lord. We pray now as we spend these few moments studying your eternal word, I do pray, Holy Spirit, that you would lead us, that you would guide us, that you would give us an understanding on what it means to live a holy life. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Living a holy life in our times of difficulties. That's the title of my sermon this morning. Living a holy life in our times of difficulties. What's involved in living a holy life? Well, Peter addresses this issue here in 1 Peter chapter 1. And he exhorts these believers that are under the pump, so to speak, have been persecuted for their faith, they're enduring difficulty. He charges them to lead a holy life. Because our God is holy. So in spite of your circumstances, in spite of my circumstances, God calls us to live holy. Because He is holy. And that's the charge here in our passage of Scripture here this morning. Living a holy life. Especially when we're going through times of difficulties. I think so often when we do struggle, when we find that we are facing opposition, we are enduring difficulty, how easy it is to lose our focus and to just stray. And Peter, under divine inspiration, was led by God's Holy Spirit to pen these words here, exhorting you and I that even during times of difficulties, holiness is still in order. And God, who's holy, wants you and I to be holy. And we note in verse number 13, first and foremost, concerning where holiness begins. Living a holy life, where does that begin? Well, in verse number 13, the Bible reads, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind." Holiness begins in our mind. And the Bible teaches us that we are to gird up. The word gird, or to gird up, means to tighten, to belt up. It's like putting on a belt and just tightening. Now, within biblical days, people wore long robes, and if a person was, for example, wanting to plow a field, what they would do, they would tuck their robes into their belt, and they would tighten. So their clothing would not get in the way. So whether they were working or running, To gird up your loins means to tuck in all of that loose clothing. Tighten up. And the Bible teaches us that we are to tighten up the loins of our mind. Holiness begins in the mind. Now note here in verse number 13, the usage of the word wherefore. Whenever you see the word wherefore or therefore, ask the question, why is it there? It is there because of what has been previously said. And in verses 1 to 12, Peter the Apostle stresses the greatness of our salvation. All that we have in Christ Jesus. Salvation made possible by God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And also we studied from verses 6 and following concerning a biblical mindset, a biblical perspective on suffering and why God allows us to go through times of difficulty. So therefore he writes in verse 13, wherefore, based upon a biblical understanding of one's salvation, and based upon a biblical understanding of why God allows suffering in your life and in my life, we need to move on and live a holy life. Wherefore, gird up, belt up, tighten up the loins of your mind. So, to tighten up our thoughts by thinking biblically. So how do we spiritually tighten up the belt? By thinking biblically. Because when you and I go through times of difficulties, it's so easy for our minds to wander and to think in ways that are not good for us. So wherefore, so based upon the truth that I've just stress to you, God tells us, gird up the loins of your mind. We need to think biblically. And our reading this morning there in Philippians 4:8, wow, nothing is by coincidence. I didn't choose that reading. See? God knows exactly what we need. And there in Philippians 4:8, we read it, God tells us how we need to think. And for you and I that have the presence of the Holy Spirit living within us, we've been born again by the blood of the Lamb. There's been a time of repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. That old nature has been crucified and we are under a new master, Jesus Christ. So therefore, it is possible to think correctly. It is possible to think biblically. And the Bible teaches us, wherefore, gird up, tighten up the loins of your mind. No slackness. No looseness in our thought life. That's the charge of Peter the Apostle. Especially during times of difficulty. Because your mind can wander. And your mind can go places that it ought not to go. Talk to me. You know it's true. When you're going through times of hardship or pain or questioning, that mind of yours will just become nomadic. And that mind of yours can potentially just go on a walkabout, not knowing where it's going or where it's going to end up and how long it's going to be there for. So the Bible teaches us, tighten up. Tighten up your mind by thinking biblically. And here in verses 1 to 12, we need to think and appreciate the greatness of our salvation. And biblically, we need to understand suffering and difficulties from God's perspective. So we must choose to think biblically. We must cast down wrong thoughts that can potentially enter our minds. Thoughts like, it's just too hard to live for Jesus Christ. Well, my Bible teaches me I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. That's how you ought to think. Or maybe the thought of, well, there's no way out. I'm destined to misery for the rest of my life. What about 1 Corinthians 10:13, where the Bible teaches us there is no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful that will not allow you and I to be tempted above that which you are able, but will provide a way of escape. That's thinking biblically. So the Bible teaches us that we are to tighten up our minds, and if we are to live a holy life, it begins upstairs. It begins right here. And the Bible teaches us in Philippians 4:8 what we need to think upon. And if we will think right, we will eventually feel right. Say amen. If you will think right, you will feel right. You can control your thinking. You cannot control your how you feel. But if you will think biblically, you will eventually feel right. The Bible doesn't say, feel these things. And I believe there are a lot of God's people that are struggling because they're following their feelings. And they're not choosing to think biblically. And if you and I will choose to meditate and to think biblically, then rest assured the emotions will come. The feelings will come. Gird up the loins of your mind. Verse 13 goes on to read, be sober. Now he defines this tightening up of the thought process of our thinking by using the word sober. To be sober means to be in control. Our mind, your mind, my mind, needs to be under the control of God's Word. A mind that is out of control is a drunk mind. And there in Ephesians 5:18, the Bible teaches us, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. So to be sober-minded means to be in control of my mind. And we need to have our mind under the dominion of God's Word. Our minds need to be tightened up so that the Word of God dominates our mind. This is where holiness begins. It begins upstairs. It begins in head office right here. And Peter, as he writes to these believers that have been persecuted for their faith, he exhorts them concerning the fact you need to still live a holy life because God is holy, and that begins with tightening up your mind. Having your thoughts under control. Casting down those thoughts that are not biblical. And meditating upon thoughts that are biblical. And verse number 13 goes on to read, hope to the end. We have hope in Jesus Christ. Your time of difficulty will not be forever. God will provide a way of escape. Hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation or the coming of Jesus Christ. So Peter, as he writes to this, as he writes to these persecuted believers scattered all over modern-day Turkey, he writes to them and he tells them, listen, you need to tighten up your minds and make sure that you're thinking biblically, because we have hope. And one day Jesus Christ is coming again. One day he'll deliver us from the pain and the suffering and the inconsistency that prevails within this wicked, vile world we live in. There is a day of deliverance. We have hope in Christ Jesus. So Peter exhorts believers to look forward to the coming of Christ, that Jesus Christ is coming again. But until that day, we need to tighten up our minds by thinking biblically. And my friend, this morning, you are where you are at right now because of your thought process. And I'd like to exhort you this morning to tighten up and ask the question, what does it mean to think biblically within my setting? And once you've worked that out from the Holy Scriptures, choose to meditate upon those things. And when you know that a thought pattern that you have in your mind is not biblical, then you need to cast it out in the power of the Holy Spirit, with the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So we need to choose to think biblically. That's where holiness begins. But let's read on in verse number 14. The Bible goes on to read, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. So living a holy life in our times of difficulties begins with you and I living holy, or being holy, in our mind. Holiness begins in the mind by thinking biblically, filling our minds with Bible. That's why you and I need to read our Bibles every day. And when you come to church, this is not the time to daydream. It's the time to sit up and listen to the Word of God. Because there could be something for you this morning that will help you to persevere and to move on and to stay straight for the glory of God. Now, verse number 14, he makes reference to obedient children. Holiness, number two this morning, involves obedience. Holiness begins in the mind, verse number 13. Verse number 14, holiness involves obedience. Note in verse 14 that Peter refers to Christians as obedient children. When you and I receive the gift of God, which is eternal life, we are born into the family of God and we become a child of God. In John 1:12, the Bible reads, but to as many as have received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Let me ask you this morning, are you a child of God? Have you recognized your need to be born into God's family? You've become a child within a family by birth. We need to be spiritually born into God's family in order to be a child of God. Now, when you were born into this world, you were born a sinner. And the Bible teaches us that we are in sin, and because of our sinful nature, we do not qualify entrance into heaven. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit His Spirit, the physical birth, gave you and I entrance into this world. The spiritual birth grants us the grace to enter God's presence. And Peter writes to those that have received Jesus Christ as Saviour, and he calls them children. But also he writes here in verse 14, as obedient children. It's understood that a child will be obedient. Children, say amen. As obedient children, it's just understood. As obedient children, that's the normal for children to obey their parents. Obedience is a mark of relationship. As obedient children, an obedient child towards their parents gives the evidence of relationship. As my children obey me, they give evidence that they are my children. And Peter writes, as obedient children. So we give evidence that we are children of God, that God is our Heavenly Father by walking in obedience. Holiness involves obedience. Now, Peter, here in verse number 14, writes, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts. Peter the apostle here deals with a specific area of obedience. That little phrase there, not fashioning, means don't be molded by. Don't be shaped by. Don't be conformed into the mold of. Not fashioning yourselves according to the, note this next word, former, previous, of the past life. Before you were a child of God, former lusts, plural, not singular. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts, plural, that sinful lifestyle of the past. My friend, this morning it is possible for you and I that know Jesus Christ as personal Saviour to look back like Lot's wife and be fashioned to look back at that old life. And God tells us, if you and I are determined to live a holy life, then we need to be obedient children, and we are not to look back, but we are to press forward. We need to be careful lest we go backwards. Now, this is mentioned here because it's possible. It's possible to be born into the family of God and to have faith in Jesus Christ, and it's possible to go backwards. And Peter writes, belt up your mind, control your thoughts, think biblically, but secondly, walk as an obedient child and be careful of going backwards. Former lusts. Note that at the end of verse 14 it reads, in your ignorance. To be ignorant means to have no knowledge of. And what it means is this. Before you were saved, you did not have the spiritual understanding that you have right now. Now that you are a Christian, now that you have the Spirit of God, you see the dangers of the past life. You see the vanity of the past life. You see the wickedness of the past life. You were ignorant, but now you're not ignorant. Now you know. Now you see you are also in danger of looking back. See? Once you committed certain sins and you just fed your lustful fleshly nature out of ignorance. But Peter writes, now you're not ignorant, you are responsible. You know better. And the Bible teaches us, my friend, this morning, for those of us that sincerely desire to live holy, it begins with our mind. Thinking biblically. And secondly, it also involves walking in obedience. In the book of 1 John, please, chapter 2. Please, 1 John chapter 2, verse number 15 and 16 and 17. Love not the world. This is in reference to the worldly system, the non-Christian world. The things of this world. Neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. There is no permanence there. There is no lasting satisfaction there. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. What does it mean to live a holy life? It means to walk in obedience as obedient children. Not fashioning yourself. Choosing not to allow the world, the worldly system, to shape you into its image. Because now you're a child of God. You're no longer a child of the devil, you're a child of God. You no longer belong to the kingdom of darkness, you belong to the kingdom of light. So therefore, don't go backwards. And the usage of the word obedience implies that you and I can potentially go backwards. But we can choose to go forward as obedient children. So choosing to go forward, not backwards. There's so much more I'd like to say. But I'll continue this sermon tonight. So I'd like to encourage you to be in church tonight. It'll also be a communion service. We'll have the Lord's table. A time of remembrance of the blood of Christ and the body of Christ. And I challenge you, especially those of you that are members of this church, to make the Lord's table a priority. You might say, well, Pastor, I just feel so unclean. I just don't feel I could be here. Listen, if you feel so unclean, you need to be here so you get your life right before God. That's what the Lord's table is all about. I do not understand why some believers think, well, I am not going to go to a communion service because I don't feel right with God. Look, get right with God. That's the whole idea of the Lord's table. Read 1 Corinthians chapter 11. You're not to stay away. No, you're to come and get your heart right and worship the broken body and the shed blood of Christ, he that died for you. So I'll see you here at 6 o'clock. But until then, God calls us to live holy. He is holy. And it begins with our minds. We must think biblically. And holiness also involves, number two, obedience. Obedience. Not looking back at the former lust, being fashioned by the former lust, but looking forward. So let me encourage you this morning, for those of us that are Christians, God calls us to live holy. Oh, but Pastor, you don't understand my circumstances. Well, maybe I don't. How can I fully understand all of your circumstances? It's not that I don't want to, but God still calls us to live holy. And it's by no coincidence that Peter writes to believers, listen to me, don't switch off yet, I'm almost done. Peter writes to a persecuted people. People enduring difficulties. And he charges them, live holy. Because God is still holy. Let's bow for prayer. Let's stand, heads bowed, eyes closed. Thank you.